We started yesterday, Maseret Yesharim, Perek Kaf Aleph, and the topic was how a person can acquire Chassidus. We spoke about the main way that a person can acquire Chassidus is a person focuses on all the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him. We called that the in-pipe, and we spoke about also recognizing all the good opportunities that you have, all the good that you do in the world, and that builds the out-pipe. And then he started, and we said this in the last 2 minutes, saying that a person needs to go alone and cut themselves off and go into a room, שיתבודד בחדריו, ויקבוט כל מדעו תבונתו אל ההסתכלוס ואל העיון בדברים האמיתים האלה. והנה ודאי שיעזרו לזה רוב ההתמדה והעיון במזמורי דוד המלך. This is the last point that we made yesterday. So a person who wants to think about something in depth doesn't always have the structure. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but has it ever happened to you, you were trying to think of something and you couldn't find words for it. And then someone else said something and you say, yes, that's what I was saying. And sometimes you even hear the line where someone says, you said what I was thinking even better than I could say it. Meaning it's as if you feel someone else is reading your thoughts. You wanted to say something, you had an emotion, but you didn't have words to put it into. You didn't have the structure because it was a new experience to you. You didn't know how to define it exactly. And then someone else puts it in words and you say, yes, if I could have found words to describe what I was doing, that's the words I would have used. Now initially, when a person isn't yet in tune with his neshama, he doesn't even feel the feelings of the neshama yet. So he's not even in touch with it. That's where he's in stage one, not even aware. Then as he starts contemplating, he gets to stage two. Stage two is where you're aware of the neshama, but you can't put it in words yet. You start feeling this yearning for Hashem. You start feeling this beyond the self. You start recognizing there's more, there's a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So stage one was you're not even aware. Stage two is you become aware of the neshama, but you're not yet able to like, describe it or say what it is. People will just say that stage, a yearning. What for? How? What? No idea. Just nafshi. They don't even have to put it in words. But when they hear a song like nafshi, they go like, yes, that's what I mean. They don't even know what the word means. But that's what I mean. Or they sing kaiachsof and they're like, oh, my neshama is flying. What are the words? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Just flying. That's the stage two. It's where you've already recognized there's something more. There's something beyond. You're in touch with the neshama, but you don't yet have a word for it. And at that stage, says the Maseret Yesharim, it will be very helpful for you if you spend a lot of time and iyun on Sefer Tehillim. Because Sefer Tehillim are those words that you're looking for. When you start getting in touch with the neshama, as you're in touch with the neshama and you're looking for the words to describe what you're feeling now, the more you read Sefer Tehillim and the more you translate the words, understand the meaning of what he's saying, can read some commentaries to get a deeper understanding, you'll start saying, wow, if you're doing both things at the same time, you're looking for Hashem on the one side by seeing all the good Hashem is doing for you, and you're recognizing what great things you're doing in the world, you're doing that avoda, and together with that, when you're reading Sefer Tehillim, you'll start seeing, if I would have put in words what I'm feeling now, I would have said this phrase, and you find a pasuk in Tehillim. That's exactly what I'm feeling now. And when you find that phrase, and it will happen often, again and again, you just say that pasuk of Tehillim again and again and again and again, because you're bringing out your neshama into a very tangible world in this world. So stage one, you're not even aware. Stage two, you're aware, but it's not formed. It's just a kind of a very vague feeling, a longing, a yearning, or something very general. Stage three is when you read Sefer Tehillim as an example. Could be other Mamre Chazal as well, but Tehillim is the book for this. As you read Sefer Tehillim, you start finding your feelings that you couldn't describe or you couldn't put structure to, you couldn't put words to, you see them in Sefer Tehillim. So says the Maseret Yesharim, you will find Tehillim very helpful. Over his bonanus, bam, b'ma'amarehem v'inyanam. That so long as you're contemplating them, what the words are and what the concept behind the words are. See, Tehillim, unfortunately, gets a bad rap when people say Tehillim without any thought. And they just say, oh, it's a tzara in the world, say Tehillim. How do you say Tehillim? Na 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 na. What does that mean? Never mind. Na 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 na. And then people say that the words of Tehillim themselves are power, and it's true. It's true. The words for him have objective kedusha. The Sefer Derech Hashem, he writes, the oral Torah doesn't have kedusha in the words, only in the understanding of the words, and therefore you have to understand the concept. It doesn't help us to read it. As opposed to written Torah, Torah Shebichtav has objective kedusha in the words, even if you don't understand it. That's why someone can hear the Megillah in Hebrew, and they don't speak Hebrew, and they still fulfill the mitzvah. And you're asking, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, what did he do? The whole point of the Megillah is to see the Nistim and the Niflaos of Hashem. And he didn't understand the words. So how can he fulfill the mitzvah of the Megillah? Because the words have Kedusha. The words have objective Kedusha. In Hebrew. Torah Shebichtav. So when someone is saying to him, even if they have no idea what they're saying, there's a value, there's a benefit. They're bringing Kedusha into the world. But having said that, the real benefit of saying Tehillim comes when a person is doing the avodah of tapping into their neshama, looking for words that they can find to connect, to bring out what they're feeling. They say Tehillim again and again with thought, with emotion, meaning, I don't mean emotion of, okay, let's go, we're saying Tehillim. Not an external emotion, but they've brought out the emotion through doing the avodah that we spoke about yesterday, where they've thought about Hashem, where they've thought about all the good Hashem has done for them, where they've thought about the benefit of what they're doing to help other people, the benefit of doing they bring Torah to the world. They've brought emotion out in an authentic way, and then they start saying Tehillim, then they'll start to see a connection. They'll say, wow, that's what I'm feeling as well. That's where the benefit really comes, of Tehillim. So there is Tehillim on the basic level, not Chas Hashem to derive it at all. There's great inherent value in saying the words to them, even without understanding. And we're adding on that another level where you can use Tehillim to express your emotions when you start bringing out emotions and you just need to find words. Ki bihiyotam kulam meleim ahava v'yira v'kol minei chasidut. Since Tehillim are full of love for Hashem and awe of Hashem and full of going beyond the basic halacha, the connection to Hashem, hinei v'hitbono nobam, as you start contemplating them, not just reading them externally, but contemplating them, lo yimana mitorer bo itorut gadol. You won't be able to hold yourself back from your soul going out of its boundaries. Your soul has natural boundaries. And often a person is scared to think bigger things because he doesn't know where it's going to lead him. But if I start feeling big emotions, I don't know where I'll end up, or I don't know if I'm on that level, I don't know if I believe in myself, a person gets scared to do beyond what he is. He likes to have his comfort zone that he's in. When you start saying to Tehillim, you start tapping into David HaMelech's connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not only David HaMelech, especially David HaMelech. Then you won't be able to hold yourself back if you're doing it with his bonenus, with contemplation, from his soros kedol, l'tseit v'kotav, v'lelechet v'derachav, to go in David HaMelech's ways. V'chein to'il ha'kriyah, that's one point. That's a major way through saying Tehillim. Now as well as Tehillim, another great benefit is reading Sipurei Ma'aser Chassidim ba'agadot ha'talmud, asher ba'u sham. Learning the Gemaras, especially Masechtas Shabbos, Masechtas Brachos, where they're telling stories of Gedolim and Yirat Shamayim that they have, and also Midrashim, men in Midrashim HaAgadah, which speak about the Gadlut, the greatness of the. When you read about Tanayim and Amorayim, you're reading that Pesach HaLacha, you also get to see who they were as individuals, what their Yirat Shamayim was, what was behind the scenes, and the Gemara brings that. The purpose of Gemara is not just a halachic sefer, it's also a halachic sefer, but it's a building a Yirat Shamayim sefer, and therefore intertwined with the Gemara, especially in Baba Batra they have a lot, Baba Kama not so much, Baba Batra has a lot, intertwined they'll have stories of Midrashim, Agadata, in order that you'll be able to bring out the more neshama aspect, together with the halachic aspect, the depth of the soul behind it, as well as the practice. All of these awaken the mind. Lihityaet means to make plans. And to follow in their ways. Just to give an example, there's an amazing story in the Gemara. I'm sure everyone's learned it. If not, you're about to. Of Rav Safra. Rav Safra was one, he was a merchant. And he had something for sale. And someone came by to ask to buy it from him. And he was in the middle of davening, so he didn't answer. But he heard the words of what the person said. The person said, I'll give you, I don't remember the amount, but I'll give you, let's say, 5 for it. So Rav Safra heard that, and he said, well, I'm davening now, I'm not going to answer him, but when I finish davening, I'm going to agree to that. And the person saw they didn't answer, thought, probably it's not enough of a figure, so I'll say a higher figure. He says, okay, I'll pay you 10 for it. And Rav Safra's thinking, no, I'm fine with the 5, but okay. And then the guy says 20 and 30. I don't remember what number he got to, but he said a much larger figure. And eventually Rav Safra says, I agree to sell it to you, and I'll sell it to you for 5. And the man says, what do you mean 5? I'm willing to pay you 40, 50, whatever number he got to. So Rav Safra said, yes, but in my heart, I agreed to sell it to you for five. Yashrus. Whatever you decide in your inner world, that's truth. And even if you could get away with saying a higher figure, but what's being honest? What's being straight? You read stories like that, and it imbues you with yashrus. You think to yourself, okay, I'm not going to be in exactly that situation, but I'm going to be in very similar ones throughout my life. Well, I have opportunities to like get away with things. I could get away by saying that this child is actually 9, not 10, and then pay a lower figure. Easily I could get away with that, but yashrus. I've learned the middos of our chachamim, of being yasha. That's one example amongst many, many examples. Chazal are full of them. But through saying Tehillim, and through reading the stories of Chazal, that imbues a person. It's just an interesting concept. One of the main ways that you can acquire a trait is through modeling. When you see someone doing it well, and you hear stories, a mashal of someone, it could be a real story, it could be a mashal of someone doing it well, and you take that as your model example, whenever you learn a new concept, if it's too theoretical, then it just remains kind of out of your mind. And you learn it as a formula. And if someone will ask you, what is the formula for such and such, you can say, oh, I know that. And you can rattle off the formula. But when you learn a formula, you won't necessarily be able to apply it to another situation. Because you've learned it as a formula. It's kind of fixed in a very fixed model. But when you hear a story, then you have a concept. You have a whole model in your mind. And you're not limited to that. You're not going to say, well, if I'm exactly sitting in the marketplace and he offers me five, you're able to go broader when you hear a story. When you hear a formula, you're not. You don't know if it's an A instead of a B, or if it's a plus instead of a minus, or if it's a root instead of a times. You don't know. You can't play around with formulas. Formulas only work if they're exactly the way the formula is. A plus minus B to square root of C plus B, 2 plus AB. You can't play with that. You can say, okay, 4, 2 is roughly the same. I'll change the numbers. You can't do that. It's a formula. But when it's not a formula, but it's a story, it's a mashal, then you have the broadness. You have the broadness to be able. So therefore, says the Mesnil Hasham, if you wish to acquire chassidus, then you learn to say Tehillim, and you see David HaMelech's yearnings for Hashem, and you're able to find your neshama there in that as well. Now you might not say those exact words, but they'll describe what you're feeling. And you start reading stories of the Chachamim, and you say, okay, I might not be in the exact situation, but the mashal I can take the concept behind it. Your mind is broad enough to understand the concept, not only limited in the way that it... Those are the ways to acquire chassidus. But like we learned throughout our Maaseh Yesharim, that anything which you acquire is not a given that it's yours. It's something that you have to constantly hold on to. You know, when you buy a, let's say, an app, yeah, so often it's a one-time payment of a certain amount of money, and then you have it for life. That's one model of a buying thing. There's another model of buying things. Let's say when you buy a magazine, you have to renew it every year. Another model. There's two models of buying things. There's buying things that you buy and you have forever. And there's models of things that you... Now, what happens if you buy something which you buy and you pay once? Then if there's an upgrade, you have to pay again. It's not going to automatically upgrade, let's say. Why? Because what's the difference between buying something once and buying something which you have to pay for again and again? When you buy something once, then whatever you've got, how it is, you've got it. But it's stuck on that level. If you buy something which you have to pay for again and again and again, then as it's upgraded, you're getting a better model, a better model, a better model. And what if you stop paying? You lose it. Does that mean you stay on the level you're at? No, if you stop paying for the magazine, you won't get the magazine anymore. Right, that's it. You're not going to have it next month or the month after, the month after. You finished. You paid for a service, the service ended. Chassidus, and everything throughout Maaseh Yesharim, is not like the model of you buy it once and you have it for life on that level. Avodat Hashem is something which is always dynamic. It's like breathing. You don't say, I breathed yesterday, so I'm okay. No, I breathed yesterday and that kept me going then. And I have to breathe again today to keep me going now. It's not a one, because if it would, anything which is keeping you alive has to constantly be pumping. Your heart is always pumping because it's keeping you alive every moment. You buy a book and you put it on the shelf and the book could be dead. You don't have to read it anymore. If you read the knowledge of the book in your mind and you rethink it, then as long as you're rethinking it, you have it. If you're not rethinking it, you don't have it. You might forget it and it's gone. So the way of Avodas Hashem is that you have to constantly be ensuring that you're holding on to it, because it's not a given that you have something, you're going to keep it. And therefore you have to learn, number one, how to acquire something. And then you also have to learn what to be careful of that will make you lose it. Because it's not a guarantee that you'll keep something just because you have it. Ach mafsidei chassidut Hema tiradot vahadagot. Chassidus is only something you can hold on to if you have a clear mind, a focused mind, menuchas hanefesh. Then you can go beyond the expectation. To keep halacha, you could do even if you have tiradot vahadagot. You're worried about something, but you're not going to break Shabbos because of that. Because that's a baseline. It's like you pay once and you have it. The halacha. There's no less, there's no more, there's basic halacha. Even if you're bothered by something, you're still going to keep halacha. You're still not going to eat not kosher food because you're bothered by something. But if you're trying to work on the trait of not getting frustrated, then as long as everything's calm, you can do it. Right? You have to work on yourself a little bit, that small things are bothering you, but everything's fine. But if suddenly something comes your way which shakes your whole world, then okay, there it goes. Like I was trying to work on myself of not getting frustrated, but that was before Corona came. Now, like I have every excuse in the world not to work on myself because what do you want from me? I'm trying to do more than the given. Can't keep up a high level. So halacha, you can often keep up even at challenging times. But chassidus, when you're bothered by something in your mind, when you're frustrated by something, when you're downtrodden by something, then the levels of chassidus, higher levels of things that you're doing extra, you won't necessarily be able to keep those up. כי ביות השכל תרוד ונחפז בדאגותיו ועסקיו, אי אפשר לו לפנות אל ההתבוננות הזה. I'm going to emphasize this point a little bit more. There are some things that you can move to autopilot. Let's give a mashal. Let's say you hear someone's phone number and you want to learn it off by heart. So the first few times you do repeating again and again and again and again and again. What's your goal? Why are you repeating it again and again? You're trying to put it into your automatic memory that you'll just remember it automatically. So you say it from the short-term memory again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And then, okay, that was enough. It's moved into long-term memory. It's become part of who I am. When you learn to drive, initially you don't know what to do. Where do I move now? Where do I look? Then you get to a point where you don't even think about it anymore. It moves into your long-term memory, your automatic mode, and it's just natural to who you are. Things that you've moved into automatic, in a sense, they're dead. You don't have to keep them alive by thinking about them. They just became part of you. Chassidus is never like that. Chassidus never becomes a part of you, naturally. Chassidus is always something you have to be activating, ensuring, because it's beyond the halacha. Halacha you can make automatic. Which is sometimes not always a good thing, because let's say you make a bracha automatic, you'll make a bracha without thinking. You'll make the bracha, it'll become automatic to you. But chassidus, let's say for example, chassidus having kavana and davening. You can't make having kavana and davening automatic, because kavana is alive. It has to be refreshed all the time. It has to be alive with you at every moment. So things that you can make on automatic, even if you're bothered, it's okay, because they're in your automatic. If you're your mind bothered by something, you'll still know how to drive. Because it's already become automatic to you. You'll still know which bracha to make because you're not really thinking about the bracha. It just became automatic to you. You'll still know Hilchos Shabbos. And it's a complicated thing. However, something which you have to actively think about the whole time, you have to focus your mind on, you have to do it right now on your thoughts, that you could only be actively thinking about one thing at any given time. And if your mind is all worked up on, should I fly, shouldn't I fly, where should I stay, should I go back, shouldn't I go, your mind's all like caught up in that thought, then your mind's occupied. So you'll still keep basic halacha, because that's an automatic for you. But you won't be able to do chassidus, because chassidus is where you're thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're thinking about how good Hashem is to you. You're thinking about what good you've done in the world. You're activating your relationship with Hashem. You're feeling a love for Hashem. So a person whose mind is occupied with technical things, that his mind is busy, it's taken. It's involved in something else. So it can't be involved in higher avodat Hashem, love of Hashem. A person bothered by something won't feel the love of Hashem at that time. And he'll say, Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani, Dafka now, and I'm so struggling, why have you abandoned me? Not that Hashem has abandoned you. The mind just can't focus on two things at the same time. Chassidus on a higher level of activating the love for Hashem can't be activated when the mind is bothered by all those things. Let's read that line again. Afilu otam mitzvot. Ki biyot ha-seichel tarud v'nechpaz v'da'agotav v'asakav. Since the mind is being hijacked by the thoughts that are bothering it, its worries, all the dealings, EF Sharlo lifnot elait bonze, your mind isn't free for you to go and think of love of Hashem, the good things that Hashem has done for you, how kind Hashem is to you, what good things you're benefiting the world, what opportunities you have to do good. Your mind isn't available to focus on those things. And without you actively focusing on it, lo yasiga chasidut, the person at that time won't be able to achieve chasidut. And even if a person, before the things are bothering him, he knew he was able to have kavanah and davening. He knew he was able to feel a love for Hashem. He got to the point where he could feel that. It doesn't matter. You have to be constantly renewing it and refreshing it all the time to feel it now. The fact that you felt it in the past, all that means is that you have hope to feel it again in the future. You're able to do it. It can give you encouragement. I know I'm worthy of it. But right now, I'm not in the frame of mind for it. Right now, I can't do it because my mind is all occupied. How do you get to do it then? We're not going to discuss it today, but you have to learn the tool of menuchas ha-nefesh. You have to learn the tool of, we discussed a little bit on the Shabbaton, of being able to hold on to complexity. So at the same time, be bothered by something, and at the same time, have another area which you can go to, where you can say, I'm bothered about that, but it's in a certain area. And therefore, I will choose to think about it and be bothered by it in that area. But I also have a place of calmness within myself, which I can always return to. I have a nuchas ha-nefesh, where everything behind the scenes is good. Not behind the scenes, let me say a better word. Everything surrounding it is good. Meaning, if you look at it as two different sides, right, then if you're in an aeroplane which one side falls out, then even if you're on the other side, it's still not going to be good for you, because you're going to be sucked out. But if you look at it, that you're surrounded by an aeroplane, now everything is good, you have the structure, just in the seat in front of you, then the television's broken. It's okay, there's something wrong. There's something wrong, but you still have the support, the structure, everything is still healthy. Everything is still intact. So if you look at it, menuchas ha-nefesh, oh, there's a particular issue here which has to be resolved, that's fine. It didn't have the mahajir food that I ordered because my flight was changed, but I'm still on a plane and I have the protection and everything is still surrounding me. So menuchas ha-nefesh is where you recognize that you're surrounded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time and how Hashem loves you. And then even if something technical in the middle goes wrong, it's not half of you is off. It's a nukudah off, but you're still surrounded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even those things you've achieved and accomplished already, it's true that you achieved them then. It's not false. It's not fake. It's a terrible line that people say, oh, the fact I don't feel it now proves that even earlier was fake. Not at all. That's a false line. It's a false line. The fact that you achieved the closest to this Baruch Hu means that you have the opportunity to come close to Hashem. You've done it in the past. You can do it again. But it doesn't mean you're going to be feeling it every moment. Also in a relationship with a husband or a wife, you don't feel the same level of love at every moment the whole time. When you're involved in other things, but at that moment you're not focusing on it. And when you don't focus on it, you don't feel it. But then when you finish the day and you finish all your other activities and your burdens, and you come back and then you refocus and you reconnect, you can generate that love again. You don't have to be feeling it at every moment to say it's real. If a person's at work and he's all occupied with some business he's doing, so right now he's not feeling, his wife had phoned him, he would even put down the phone because it's two in the middle. He knows that if he would answer her now, he wouldn't be able to give her the attention that she deserves. So he doesn't answer her. Good, not good, I don't know, but that's what he feels. He wouldn't be able to give her the attention. So does that mean he doesn't love her? No, he's just not focusing on the love right now because his mind is occupied in something else. When he's finished the business dealing, he'll say, okay, thank God that's over. Now I'm able to refocus, then he'll bring and generate up the feelings of love again. It's real, it's very real. The fact that you're not feeling something now doesn't mean it's not real. If you're not feeling the love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu right now, doesn't mean he doesn't love you. If you're not able to just focus on it now, so you don't notice it, but it's still very real. When a person's bothered by things, that forces the mind into its world. It hijacks the mind that it can't focus. And it confuses it. The bothers in the world don't allow the mind to strengthen and focus on Yirat Shamayim, on Avas Hashem, and all the matters that enable you to come close to Hashem. And therefore Chazal say in Gemara Shabbos Taf Lamed, Ein Hashchina Shora, Lo Metoch Hatzvut, Velo Metoch Hatzlut, Velo Metoch Tzchok, Velo Metoch Chalus Rosh, Ele Metoch Devar Simcha Shel Mitzvah. If you wish to feel the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are conditions which are appropriate, and there are conditions which are inappropriate. There are times when you'll be able to feel it, and times when you won't. If a person's frame of mind has been hijacked because he's depressed, at that time he won't be able to feel it. Elisha wanted to receive Nevuah. He was sad. He wasn't able to. He called the menagen, the musician, to come and play for him. And then when he heard music, it lifted his spirit. So last night, 2 nights ago, I went to Osharat. And I went shopping with the gloves and the mask. Everything was checked up. No mask, gloves. Everyone had to wear gloves. Obligated to wear gloves in Osharat. So everyone's wearing their gloves. And there was this feeling of, no kids are allowed in. No kids in Oshara, only adults. There was a feeling of kind of a zombie mode. You know, I don't know if you know what I'm saying. Like, everyone's just like, we need to buy food. We don't know what's going to happen. Don't talk to anyone else. Don't smile at anyone else. Don't touch anyone else. Just go to the shelf, buy what you need, put it in the trolley, go to the next shelf, put it in the trolley. And it was a very weird, weird setting. Very weird. So I usually listen to a shiur when I do things which are mundane, so that I can use that time to learn Torah as well. But I didn't feel that it was right to listen to a shiur then. I listened to music. There's a music that I have of the rabbi of Bat Ayin. The rabbi of Bat Ayin, he has a disc which is very neshamadic music. Very calm, neshamadic music that he's playing on his clarinet by Daniel Cohen, and I listened to that, and I was in a different world entirely. It was a menuchas ha-nefesh. And I felt that the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mundane was happening. There was just a sense of just in the hands of Hashem. It's very hard to describe exactly. But just in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very calm, very close, very connected, and it kind of lifted the spirit of above that. I was thinking, I don't know then, but afterwards I was thinking of like Elisha. If Elisha like wanted to be close to Hashem, they couldn't be, because like everything was sad and like focused and you're not able to, and then you have music, and the music just like raises you out of those spirits, if you're able to like feel that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a setting, there's a frame of mind that you need to have in order to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't do it if you're sad, one can't do it if they are lazy. Right, you can imagine a person who's lazy, come daven, okay. Hashem Svatai Tiftach Ufi Agit Hiratecha. And what's the chance of having a closer circle with Baruch Hu when a person doesn't feel like davening, he can't be bothered, he's lazy? There's no hope. In that situation, there's hope. He could get out of that state of mind. He could switch the frame of mind. You could do that. But in that frame of mind, there's no hope of feeling closer to Hashem. And not in light-hearted joking around, only when a person has joy in the mitzvah, like we spoke about yesterday. Two things, recognizing Hashem is doing for you and recognizing what you're doing for Hashem. When you recognize that you're doing a mitzvah and you feel joyful and what the good you're bringing into the world, then you'll be able to feel that love for us on this book. Yishar koch. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Do you have a minute?
Should we dive in Maris?
I'm diving up there.
I'm diving now.